The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth Moore gives us a fresh look at God's calling on our lives.
And one of the things that's so interesting here is that Jesus can beat us at our own game. In other words, he joins Peter and tells Peter what to do when it is what Peter is best at. There is nothing more annoying than someone telling you how to do something you are already good at.
Discovering God's call on your life, next.
It's always a privilege to be with you and to come visit with you wherever you happen to be watching. And we want you to know how much it blesses Betty and me to know how you are blessed by Beth Moore. And this is Wednesdays with Beth. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to present to you week after week inspiration. And then to see the inspiration that you make possible, not only by your prayers and your support of Life Today, but all the outreaches of life around the world. Thank you so much. Beth is talking about an aspect of the net, because she's been talking about net, and a lot of times people are trapped in the net, but there's also a net that Christ casts that is a calling into his will, and that's what Beth's going to talk about. Here is Beth Moore.
I want you to see with me Luke 5. I'd like to read verses 1 through 11 with you. 1 through 11. Lord, let this word fall fresh on us. If all scripture is God-breathed and every breath of God is fresh, then this can fall fresh upon us today. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, and that him is Jesus Christ, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. What kind of man is it that can cause you to leave everything you have known and follow him? That is the call of someone I pray we're going to hear from this very day and this very series. I saw a cartoon within just the last couple of days, a kind of a typical looking picture that you might have seen in Sunday school had you been raised in those little baby bear chairs, where Jesus is talking to a more present looking, present clothed individual, Jesus being in his robes, and then the present day individual sitting there in what may have been a suit, or in this case, it was just like a golf shirt and jeans. And so he's sitting beside this one on a bench, and underneath it, the caption says, "No, I'm not talking about Twitter. I literally want you to follow me." Because it's just like a whole new day. I wonder what my grandmother would have thought if I would have said that I'd been tweeting all day. I just have no idea that she might have taken me to the doctor after a day full of tweeting. But it just, it's a whole new day of what it means to follow someone. But Jesus really means come alongside me and follow me. We're going to make 3 points together in this present series as we look at this side of the canon on this concept we call the net. And the first one is this. Number one, the gospel casts a new kind of net. The gospel casts a new kind of net. All of a sudden, a net is not something to be feared. It's a place to encounter the living Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice something. Go back into the scriptures with me. We're in Luke chapter 5. Look at about verses 3 and 4, and I want you to notice something. Notice that it said that there was a great crowd pressing in. That's in verse 1. He sees two boats by the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. Now, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. So we already know from verse 1 that it is a crowd of people. Such a crowd of people that they're pressing in. Then by the time we get to verse 3, we find that he has now gotten in a boat, pulled out a little bit so that he can have that amplifying effect of speaking, letting the wind be in his favor and take the voice up through that crowd. And it's also to step him back from them just a little way so that he can actually talk to them. And so we have this setup here, but something wonderful happens between 3 and 4. He's been talking to the people. We know they're a crowd. And suddenly it says, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Suddenly we go from the crowd to one person. And I am praying that for somebody here and somebody on the other side of that screen, that is exactly what is going to happen in this series. We can be surrounded by people when we hear a message, whether it's on Sunday mornings at our different churches, whether it's at a Bible conference, wherever it might be. We can be so surrounded by people that we can hear a word and wonder if it even applies to us. You can even find yourself, if you're like me, especially if I'm just sort of out of sorts with my husband, I will apply an entire sermon to my husband. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And he won't even be there, and I'll just be ticked that he's not there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll just wonder, and I'll kind of cut my eyes if he's with me. I'll kind of cut my eyes to see if he's listening, because he needs to hear that. That word was for him. And we just get caught up in who's around us. But if we would come before the Word of God and just like, let it be just me and him. Let it be through this series. I wonder if you would let him confirm his call on your sweet life. That he wants to call your name, that this is about you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let everything else go. Listen, he knows our hearts toward our families. He knows our hearts toward our spouses if we're married. He knows what we want for our children. For just a little while, let's let every other request, just pause a moment. Let that just push hold just for a moment. He knows. But how about we let him do something? Just in us alone, me with Jesus, you with Jesus. Why don't we let the rest of the crowd go and let it just be us? I've often asked if I'm in an arena speaking, I love to ask the crowd who came all by themselves. And it'll always be the wildest thing to me. And it may be in the midst of hundreds of people that maybe just three or four will just hold up their hands somewhere out in the audience. And you know what? I always know they're going to get a word. I know every time they're going to. Because without any company whatsoever, just desperate for God to speak, they came by themselves. And I always know. I'll see someone up in the rafters just praising God, hands straight in the air. And I know she's going to get a word. Because she's come, just like, if I don't get a word, Lord, I'm not going to make it. Just with that kind of desperation that says, I've come here, and I'm not going home without it. See, what you've got that we don't have right here in our room is that you are probably alone. And so can it just be the two of you, just wrestle this scene through as if it's just you and Jesus. The lens goes from the people to the person. That's how Jesus does things. Now, mind you, I think it's important to know this is not the first time Peter has seen Christ do something miraculous. It's even right here in this same context. Look back just a little bit to verse 38 in the previous chapter, Luke 4, verse 38. It's talking about Christ again. It says, and he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. That's our same Simon Peter. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Then after that, it says that all sorts of people were brought to be healed of diseases. But I want you to lock in on that for just a moment, because he had come into their very house. But I want to suggest to you, it had not messed with him like this messed with him. It's hard to explain to somebody why it is that one particular encounter with Jesus changes everything. That after all the times he's pursued you, after all the times he's pursued me, that somehow something will happen and you will so know it is him that there is no way to deny that you are looking face to face at the living Lord Jesus Christ, and he is all in your business. And when Jesus comes and he messes with Simon in his workplace, everything changes. And I want to say to you today, Jesus not only can come to your home, he can meet you at work. And for some of us, we're glad about that. For others of us, we're not so glad about it. And one of the things that's so interesting here is that Jesus can beat us at our own game. In other words, he joins Peter and tells Peter what to do when it is what Peter is best at. There is nothing more annoying than someone telling you how to do something you are already good at. And so I want you to picture that he just goes and he just climbs in his boat. And I mean, they're cleaning everything up. Just gets in his boat, and I mean, his great respect for him. He's seen what he can do. He saw him heal all of these diseases earlier in the scene in the chapter before. But I'm just saying something huge happens here, because he is having a reaction in this scene that we do not see prior to this. So there's some reason why this got to him in a way that the other did not. And I'm going to tell you today, and I need to know this, I think you need to know this, that unless you're in some area of illicit work, Jesus is better at your job than you are. I don't care what it is. If it's real estate, if you're a bank teller, if you are in computer technology, if you are working in the health profession, I don't care what it is. I don't doubt that if you're a hairdresser, he could fix hair better than you could. That's the thing about him, is that he just, you know, he can do it all. In him is hidden all wisdom and knowledge. It's the craziest thing. It's impossible to conceive that everything we learn how to do, he already knew how to do in eternity behind us. That all of this knowledge age, he already knew it. He already knew it. He's proficient at it. He is author of all things, wisdom and knowledge. And he casts this new kind of net, beats Peter at his own game. I also want to suggest to you, especially by the way it ends and what he calls him to do, I want you to be encouraged that, first of all, you have a calling. If you know Jesus Christ, you are called. You are called. Look at one another and go, you are called. You are called. If you know Jesus, you've got a calling on your life. In other words, that means that before the foundation of the world, God already knew and had ordained in advance. It's why he put you in this particular generation. It's why you're here on planet Earth at exactly this time, is because your calling fits to what is going on in your sphere of influence at this exact time in your life. We've got a calling on our lives. And what we need to understand is that for most of us, we don't just do our calling professionally. We also have what Paul showed us by example, what we would call tent making. He still had to make a living for himself by making tents all the while he was sharing the gospel. For the most part, that's what most people are doing. But I do want you to know that there's a connection between the two. There are things that God is teaching you in your workplace that are very, very, very strategic in your calling. And so I just implore you, ask him to show up at work. Ask him to give you spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear, to make you aware of him in what you may think is the most God-forsaken workplace you have ever entered. Listen, he goes in with you. If you're the only reason he shows up for work, he goes in with you. And there's something there that is strategic for you to learn for your calling, or else it's time for you to go. Because everything has to do, you're here to fulfill your calling. I'm here to fulfill my calling. It is the reason why you're on the planet. No other reason. No other reason. So everything that we're doing, everything that all of our experience, all of our family life, all of our relational experience, all of our circumstantial experience, all of that is part and parcel of this thing that is called the calling of Christ. I want you to notice something, because it says it pretty well in the ESV that I'm reading from. Notice that it says that he tells him to put out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. And so Simon answers, you know, Master, we've done this all night. I mean, they're exhausted. But at your word, he says, I'm going to let down the nets. I'll do it if you say. Everything humanly possible, Lord. We've already done it. We've already tried it. Jesus is telling somebody listening or watching today to do something that you've already done. And it didn't work. And he's going to do it again. This time I want you to just cast it over on this side, but I already did it over here. No, do it again. Master, at your word, I'll let down the net.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
And oh boy, I want to obey the Lord in everything he says for me to do. I know that this year I've been on an unusual journey. I want to pick up the book, Indivisible. Well, when God told me to write this book, and of all things to write it with a Catholic philosopher who is truly a gift from God to us right now in America and in the free world, to do this, it was really, Betty, obeying the Lord to cast our nets. It's kind of like when you launch out into the deep or you do something a little different. It's kind of like step out on the water. You get the book, and I want to just mention this, because you can go to lifetoday.org and also get the Christian Vote Pen. There's the VOT, the cross, with everyone who professes faith certainly needs to be involved in the political process. I want to say to all of you about the importance of casting a net, that I don't know of anything we do more important than to cast a net of love over people who need our help and need water, Betty. Nothing right. touches me anymore than seeing what clean water will do. Here is our son, Randy. I think referencing something that I believe many of you are going to identify with. Listen to him in Cambodia.
Proverbs tells us that grandchildren are the crown of the old aged. I find this to be true no matter where I travel in the world. Grandparents treasure their grandchildren. While in Cambodia, our mission team came upon a grandfather named Vaughn. And as Vaughn was telling us the names of his grandchildren, his joy suddenly turned to sadness.
Vaughn has lost two generations, a child and a grandchild. No one should have to go through that.
It doesn't have to be that way. In fact, it shouldn't be that way. I don't want this grandfather or any other grandfather to lose another grandchild. simply because they have no other choice but to drink contaminated water. I hope you will help us provide Vaughn and thousands of others like him with the gift of life, the gift of clean water.
I thank you, Lord, that Randy has a sensitivity that comes from you. I know I'm talking to a lot of grandparents. I know Randy was, and he's certainly seen two grandparents of 11 beautiful grandchildren. And we'd do anything for them. We really would. I think you understand that. But the fact is, we care about your grandchildren, and we care about the grandchildren that Randy talked about and the children. And they just need clean water. It's not contaminated. And Betty, we can give it to them.
We can. And Randy's right. It doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way, especially since the solution is so simple. We can drill the water wells. We can give them clean water, and his precious grandchildren of that grandfather that you saw can watch his grandchildren grow up and be strong and be overjoyed with the fact that their children, that his grandchildren didn't have to die because of that contaminated water. I hope you'll help us.
Well, you know, Jesus said, if you just give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward, and I don't think we need to start trying to figure out what that reward might be, you know, like all our bills paid and all our problems solved. I wish we could be spiritually elevated beyond that type of thinking to where we could think maybe just the reward would be that we did the will of God, that we became an answer to a grandfather's hope. Maybe it was his prayer, too, that his children and grandchildren would have clean water, and Jesus knew how important that was. He said, if you'll just give a cup in my name, I know the rewards. They're beyond anything you could ever fathom, and I can just tell you that. We've been blessed. Our son, loving his four children, four of our grandchildren, the way he does, the way he loves the Lord and loves us and loves others, it just blesses us so much. Well, I want to ask you to be an answer to that grandfather's request. Would you help us drill a water well? Would you help us drill several of them in the area where Randy was? We are committed to drill with your help, and it's one well at a time. But we've targeted 350 specific areas at the request of missionaries who have such a heart. They've heard the grandparents and the parents cry for help. They've seen the children suffer and die. Would you dial that number right now, and would you help us drill a well? Could you give the $4,800? You know what? I think if you can, I think you will, and I want to thank you. You can put it on your bank card or write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. You can go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift. Many people say, I can't give an entire well, but I could help toward it. Some of you could give $2,400 and pray someone joins you. We've got a well, or $1,200 and pray three join you. Pray, be in prayer like that grandfather and with that hope. Whatever you can do, but remember this. Your gift, whatever it is going to save so many lives. $144, 30 people, water for the rest of their life. We have some beautiful gifts that we want to send you. Whatever gift you make, we want to send you the devotion, Arise. We want to send you the Bible study CD and DVD series from these incredibly gifted women that you've seen on Life Today. If you make a gift of $100 or more, and the beautiful line in the lamb bronze, if you can give at least $1,200 toward a well. Father, I pray right now people will move with compassion, and make the gift you put on their heart in Jesus' name. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for going online or writing that check. God bless you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Arise, a beautiful new daily devotional featuring words of encouragement from inspiring women who have shared their faith on life today. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Arise audio-visual devotional featuring 40 days of inspiration from Life Today's favorite women guests. Please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You are going to be blessed by the incredible devotions of so many of the women that have been our guests on Life Today that you respect and love. The video, audio series is also available. Make a gift, the largest gift you can, please, to help us drill those wells. If there's any way you could give $1,200 or $2,400, pray for 3 people to join you or another person to join you but have a well. If you could give a well, the $4,800 gift, please do so. We want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for changing things in so many places for so many people. And to all of you in our audience, thank you for being with us. Tell your friends to watch Life Today. Remind them of Wednesday with Beth.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. As America faces battles within, many wonder where to turn. In their new book, James Robison and Jay Richards call us to stand together before it's too late. As one nation, truly under God. Indivisible, the New York Times bestseller, now available in paperback at online and retail bookstores. Tomorrow, a successful mega church pastor is caught having an affair.
Your purpose, your destiny doesn't end with a person.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.